B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Chof Vav. We're going to start four lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Hei Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Hahu Abavarnka. What's an Abavarnka? And we're now going to explain this Gemara basically according to the Ga'inim, which is the pshat that Rashi brings second towards the bottom of Daf Chof Vav Omud Aleph in the name of the Ga'inim. And Rashi says that V'yoshar Be'enai Ma'oid, and at the end Rashi says V'chein Iker, Rashi prefers this way of explaining the sugya. That's how we're going to do it. What's an Abavarnka? So Rashi says it's a type of a sitting area, a type of an achsadra, a roofed-in area where the kings, where the royals, they would sit there in their orchards in a shaded area, and they would spend time there. The Resh Galusa had such an Abarvanka, and where was it? Bebustana, in his orchard, in the middle of his orchard. Now we have to realize this orchard was an area that was not Mukaf Ladira, and also it was larger than Beis Sasaim. It was more than 5,000 square amos, which means that in this orchard, in this Bustina, he was not allowed to carry there on Shabbos. Now he had this Abavarnka in the middle of it, and he wanted to use this Abavarnka on Shabbos, and he wanted to carry from there to his home, going through the orchard. And that's a challenge, because you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, because the orchard itself was larger than Beis Asayim, and was not Mukaf Ladira. Omar Leila Rav Huna Bar Chinina, the Resh Galusa, the head of the Golus, said to Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Le'evid Mar Takanta, do something, make some, fix it, fix the situation, in order that Delamochor Noichol Na Mahosom, in order that tomorrow we can eat our bread in this Abavarnka, and we should be able to carry our food items from our home, from the palace, or from wherever they were sitting, from wherever their home was, to this shaded area. Ozal Ovad Kono Kono Pochus Mishleisha. What did Rav Huna Bar Chinina do? He made a pathway going from the entrance of the home to this shaded area, and he made its own type of enclosure, which was made of reeds that he stood in the ground with less than 3 tvachim between each. So he made a wall on each side, separating this area from the rest of the orchard. And now he could carry from his home through this path. This path was now made. It was probably less than Beis Sasaim. And even if it was more than Beis Sasaim, it was made Ladira. It was made in order that they can eat there and dine out in this area on Shabbos, and therefore they could now use this area without having to go through the rest of the orchard, which was not allowed to be carried in. Ozal Ovid Kono Kono Pochis Mishleisha. Ozal Rava who saw what Rav Huna Bar Chinina did in this orchard, Rava came Shalfinu and he uprooted the whole this wall that Rav Huna had made. Why did he uproot it? Because Rava held that one was allowed to carry normally in the orchard. Rava had two Talmidim with him, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bar Chinina Yeshua. Ozal Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bar Chinina Yeshua, Noktinu Mi Basrei. After Rava uprooted these reeds that made up this wall that Rav Huna Bar Chinina had made, they collected all these reeds in order that nobody should re-erect this wall, because they held firmly, like Rava, that there was no need to make this wall. Lemachar. And it came to Shabbos. Now trouble started. Esve Ravina Lerova. Ravina now said to Rava, I have proof that you do need this wall, and that which now no longer exists, and you're not allowed to carry in the orchard itself. And we're soon going to see, not only Ravina asked a question on Rava, but the two Talmidim that were with Rava on the day before, on Erev Shabbos, that collected the reeds just in order to uphold Rava's decision that we did not need this wall, they themselves were going to now add questions against Rava, also Rav Papa, and also Rav Huna Bar Chinina of Yeshua. They were all, these three, Ravina, Rav Papa, and Rav Huna Bar Chinina Yeshua, were each going to ask an independent question on Rava, each proving that one was not allowed to carry in the orchard. And then it became clear that Rav Huna Bar Chinina's idea of making the path was an important one, without which one was not allowed to carry on Shabbos in that area. But that only became apparent on Shabbos after it was too late. So let's see what the three questions are against Rava. Eisve Ravina la Rava. Ir Chadosha Moidedin la Miyashivasa Vyashono Michoimosa. Eizui Chadosha Vaizui Yashono. Chadosha Shehukva Ulubasoif Yoshva. Yashono Yoshva Ulubasoif Hukva. We're just going to read the words, we'll explain it in a moment. Vahainami Kahukva Ulubasoif Yoshva Domi. What's going on here? We know the Zalocha of Eruvei Tchumen, which means that a person, wherever he is residing, or either he or some food that's representing him is residing at the onset of Shabbos, he's only allowed to go 2,000 amos in any direction from that point. What determines the place of a person? If he's in an open area, then his 4 amos. If he's using food, which we're going to learn about later on in the Masechta, Eruvei Tchumin, then from the place that the food is. If he's in a city or town, then the entire city or town is considered his place, and he can go 2,000 amos from the edge of the city. The question is, what marks the edge of the city? We would have thought the walls. If the city is surrounded by walls, from those walls, you can measure 2,000 amos. Or, however, we're going to learn more exactly how the measurements work, but however the measurements work, it starts from the wall of the city. However, we're learning here that it's not so accurate. It depends, are these walls called walls of a city, or are these walls just walls that they happen to put a city inside them, in which case the city itself is measured from where the homes end, where the houses end, not from the wall. What determines that? It depends what was there first. If the city was first built, and then they built a wall around the city, then from the wall which is serving the city is called the end of the city. However, if you first made a wall and there was nothing inside it, that's not called a city. Afterwards, you put a city there, you put homes there, then the edge of the homes is the edge of the city, not the walls. That's what it means here. Ir chadosha. A city where the homes were chadosha, were new, which means that they were built after the wall around it. We measure miyashivasa from the edge of where the residents of the city live. If, however, the wall was put after the homes are more yoshana, older than the walls, michoimasa. Then you can measure from the walls. Ezui chadosha, what's the definition of a town, a city that's called chadosha? Ve'ezui hi yoshono. Chadosha is shahukfa ulebasoif yoshva. If the wall was made first and only afterwards the residents came, or afterwards it was established, then it's called chadosha. Yoshono, what's called yoshono? That yoshva ulebasoif hukfa, that first it became a city and then they put a wall around it. So you see from there that if the wall was put there before the homes, then we do not consider the walls as being the walls of the city. Here also, Hainami Shehukfa Ulubasoif Yoshva. First the walls were made around this orchard, and only afterwards this Abavarnka was made. And since this Abavarnka, which was the place that was it going to be used as a dira, as the resident for residential purposes, since it was put there after the walls, then we do not see the walls as serving that area. If so, if the walls are not serving that area, then you're not allowed to carry in that area. It's not called mukaf ledira. If so, how can you rather say that you do not need to make the special set of walls, like Rav Huna Bar Chinina did? How can you rather say that you can carry in the whole orchard? You can't. It's true that the orchard has a sitting area inside it, but that sitting area was made after the walls of the orchard were made. So you can't rely on the walls of the orchard to determine that it has the status of Rosh HaYochid to carry in there, even Midrabonon. That was one question. Omale Rav Papa LaRava. Rav Papa, who was actually with Rava on Erev Shabbos and helped Rava dismantle the walls of Rav Huna Bar Chinina, he now had a question against Rava. V'ha'omer Rav Asi says, we can ask a question against Yerova from a halacha of Rav Asi. Mechitzois adracholin. Adracholin, they are the construction workers, and when there was very hot days, they didn't want to build in the heat, so they would make some construction, something to cover them, to protect them from the elements, protect them from the sun. And they would make these mechitzos. It would be a makeshift type of walls, where the whole purpose of the walls was not more than keeping the people inside, keeping them concealed, keeping them private, just to protect them. But it was not actually a walled area because they wanted to have residence and to live in this area. Mechitza is adracholin, loishma mechitza. It's not called a mechitza. Almas, you see from there, kiven delitzni usa avidnela. Since the walls were made only in order to conceal the people inside it, lo yavi mechitza is not called a mechitza. Hochanami, kiven delitzni usa avida. The walls around this orchard are not there because there are people who want to have normal residence inside. It was just in order to conceal the area inside the orchard from the people outside it, lo yhav a mechitza, is not considered a mechitza. If so, how can you rather rely on those mechitzas to carry in the orchard on Shabbos? A third question, v'omer Rav Huna b'rei de Yeshua, and he was also there on Erev Shabbos helping Rava dismantle Rav Huna bar Chinina's wall, and nonetheless now he's questioning Rava, and he's asking l'Rava, v'omer Rav Huna, there's a halacha from Rav Huna, mechitza ha'asuya l'nachas, a mechitza that the whole area is only there in order that what's within the mechitzas is used for storage, not for residence. Lo ishma mechitza. It's not considered a mechitza. Dehorabe baravua, ma'arev le'lekulei mechuza. In a place called Mechuza, it was a place with lots of mavois and lots of chatzeres, and they wanted to be able to carry down Shabbos. So what did they do? They made an eruv. The halacha is, if you have a small city that doesn't have 600,000 people going through it every day, then as long as you make a wall going around the whole area and you make an eruv in the whole town, then that's fine, you can carry there. But no, what happened in this place of Mechuza? Rabbi Baravua, what he did was he did every single neighborhood independently, told them to make their own eruv. Arsiso, arsiso, each neighborhood on its own. Why? Why couldn't he just make a single eruv in the whole town together? Mishum Pera Debei Torah. Because there were ditches going from one side of the town to the next that were separating one neighborhood from the next. And these ditches were made in order to store the pits of dates that the oxen were going to eat. And these ditches, they had walls around them, but the walls were just there in order to protect this food of the oxen that shouldn't get destroyed. And since the city was split up by these ditches, therefore the wall, which was going around the entire city, was not sufficient, because the part of the wall that was surrounding these ditches were not considered mechitzes. That's why he had to tell each neighborhood independently to make their own eruv. V'hapera de Beitura. What defines these ditches, the pira of the ture of these, which were holding the food of the oxen, k'mechitza asuya l'nechas domi. The reason we couldn't use those walls was because it was walls that were only made in order that the area inside it should be used for storage. So you see that a mechitza which is made for storage is not called a mechitza. And since that city was missing mechitzas in those areas, every neighborhood had to make its own eruv. So here too, in our case of the orchard, what was the area inside the orchard was just there to, the walls were there just in order to, for storage purposes inside this orchard. It was not there in order to have residence in the orchard. And that's a third reason that the walls of the orchard are not able to be used as a Rosh Hayachid on Shabbos, at least midrabanon, not only because it's a mechitza which is made just litzni usa, it's a mechitza made to conceal what's inside, which is what Rav Papa said, and not only what Rav Huna said, that those walls were made before the residence, before this abavarnka was made, but also because these walls are there lenachas, they're there just in order to protect, for storage, not for residence. Therefore, you have three different reasons from three angles. These walls of the orchard are not sufficient. How can you rather rely on them and have dismantled the special mechitzos that Rav Huna Bar Chinina set up in order to allow them to carry? And the truth is, Rava did not have an answer, and the Resh Kedusha could not carry from his home to this Abavarnka on Shabbos. Kori Olei Resh Kedusha, the Resh Kedusha said about Rava, and even more so about Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua, who were there with Rava on Erev Shabbos, Chachomim Heima, they were very wise, Lahora, to cause me pain, to get in the way, to do evil, so to speak, by dismantling the walls of Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Ulehetiv, but in order to do something positive, in order to allow me to actually carry here, lo yodu, they couldn't help me. Which means that they caused trouble, and they couldn't fix the trouble that they made. That's how the Ga'onim explain this sugya. The Rashi himself, before mentioning the Ga'onim, learns the whole sugya very differently. He learns that what Rav Papa, Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua and Ravina were actually doing was not proving that Rava was wrong and that the walls of the orchard could not be used, but these three questions that were asked were actually proofs for Rava. They were three reasons why he was right and why the walls or the enclosure that Rav Huna Bar Chinina made in order to serve the Abarvanka were not good walls. And according to that way of learning the Gemara, then it was the Abarvanka whose walls were not good for whatever reasons. And therefore, Rava was right to dismantle what Rav Huna Bar Chinina did. However, Rashi prefers to learn the Gemara that these were questions against Rava and in the way we explained it. Continues the Gemara, and now we're going back to the Mishnah. Omer Rabbi Loi, Shomati Mirabi Elozo, Mirabi Eliezer, Vafilu Beis Kur. Rabbi Eliezer held that even if you have a karpef that's the size of a Beis Kur, which is 30 saw, way beyond the 2 saw that the other Chachomim give, up to 30 saw, even if it's not Mukaf Ladira, you're allowed to carry in there on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Deloi Kechananya. What Rabbi Eloi said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, which we just saw in the Mishnah, is different to what Chananya said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya Chananya Oimer, Chananya said, and it's assumed it was said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Vafilu hi arboim so. Not like you, Rabbi Eloi said, Afilu beis kur, up to 30 so, which is called a beis kur. No, I heard in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, up to 40 so. Ka'astratio shel melech, like the yard which was in front of the palaces, or we'll soon see behind the palaces. Omer Rabbi Yechanon said, Ushneem, both Rabbi Eloi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer and Chananya in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, both of those opinions, Mikro Echod Dorshu, they both learnt it from a single posuk. Shenemar, it says in the posuk, Vayhi Yeshayahu lo yotzo chotzir hatichoino, that he hadn't even got yet to the middle chotzer. There were obviously a number of different chatzeres, yards, behind Chizkiyahu HaMelech's palace. And when Yeshaya came to visit Chizkiyahu HaMelech, then he had not even reached the middle chotzer. Udvar Hashem hoyol elov lemer, and Hashem came to speak to him, saying to him as follows. That's what it says in the Pasuk. When Yeshayahu HaNovi came to visit Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was sick at the time, then he was on his way to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He had not even reached the middle courtyard. There were obviously a number of courtyards there. And even before he reached the Tichoin, or the middle one, Hashem had spoken to him. Now these chatzeros, they were not the front yards that were being used ledira for residential purposes as typical chatzeros used to. Rather, it was a rechova, which we've discussed a number of times before. It was some backyard, back area that was not used ledira in any way. And Yeshayahu HaNovi was going through the middle one of those rechovos when visiting Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The pasuk actually says, the posuk we read, Vayhi Yeshayahu lo yotzo, if you look in the posuk inside, in the Novi, it says, lo yotzo ho ir hatichoino. This middle yard, this rechova, was actually called an ir, a city. It wasn't a city. And when you read it in Torah, there's something called a kri and a ksiv. Some words, even though they're written one way, they are read another way. So even though it's written that it was a city, but when you read it, it's as we read it, as it says in the Gemara, it says chotzer, which means it was a type of a chotzer, a backyard, a yard that was not used for residential purposes, but it was a chotzer, and it was also, it's written, it's referred to as a city, which means that the size of this rechava is allowed to be the size of an ir. Obviously, it wasn't a city, it was a backyard of the palace. The reason it's written as a city is to tell us the size that this chotzer is allowed to be, and it's still considered an enclosed area and a reshus hayochid even to carry in on Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says. Ksiv ho'ir. What's written in the pasuk is that this middle yard was called an ir. V'karinon chotzer. And it was called a chotzer. When you read it, you read it chotzer. Mikan, this is to teach us, le'istratio shel melech, that these yards, these belonging to the kings, shehoyu ka'ayorois beinonis, they were the size of average-sized cities, and it was still called a chotzer. And we know that normally a chotzer is mukaf ledira, even though here this one was not mukaf ledira, but if it's up to the size of a typical average city, it has the status of a chotzer, which is mukaf ledira, and you can carry down Shabbos. But Maika Miflegi, and all they're arguing about is the size of an average-sized city. Marasova Yoris Beinoinios Havion Beiskur, Rabbi Loi in our Mishnah, in the name of Rebbe Eliezer, assumes that an average-sized city is a Beiskur, which is 30 saw, and therefore up to 30 saw is considered like a chotzer, even though it's not a chotzer, even though it's ainay mukaf ledira, you can carry there. Or Marasovar, but Chananya, in the name of Rebbe Eliezer, he held mem saw havyon, that an average size city is the size of 40 saw, and therefore up to 40 saw, even though it's not mukaf ledira, you're allowed to carry there on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara now, v'yishayohu mau my boy hosom. What was Yeshayahu HaNovi doing in the backyard of the palace of Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Omer Rabbi Bar Barchono, Omer Rabbi Yechonon, Melamed, what we'll soon see what he was doing, but whatever he was doing was teaching us what we should be doing. Melamed Shecholo Chizkiyahu. We know that Chizkiyahu was sick at the time. V'holach Yeshayahu, and Yeshayahu HaNovi went. V'hoyishiv, he established Yeshiva Al Pischoi. He took some Talmidim. He said, hey, you learn here at the entrance of the palace and make sure that there's all Torah learning here all the time. Why? Because if there's Torah learning, then the Malach HaMoves cannot come anywhere near. And in order to keep the Malach HaMoves away from Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he set up, established a yeshiva there in one of the courtyards of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Mikan, so what do we see from here, says Rabbi Yechanon? L'talmud chochem shecholo, if a talmud chochem becomes sick, shem yeshiva in yeshiva al pischei, we put a yeshiva, a group of talmidim who are learning Torah at his entrance. However, the Gemara says, v'lav milsihi, that it's not correct what Rabbi Yechanon said, that we should be learning from Yeshayahu HaNovi that when a Talmud Chacham is sick, one should put yeshiva near his home. Because why Yeshayahu HaNovi did it? He had his reasons for doing it, to protect Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Marashah, the Ritva, they explain why that was different. But in every other case, referring to any other Talmud Chacham that is sick, one should not do that. Dilma osi le'igruye be'sotn, it looks like you're inciting the sotn, as if you're telling the sotn, we're not letting you in, we're overriding you, and the sotn may get even more active, so to speak, and can cause harm to the people, and therefore we do not do anything to incite the sotn, the Malach HaMoves, and therefore one should not make a yeshiva at the entrance of a Talmud Chacham who is sick. Why? And Yeshayahu HaNovi had his own reasons why he did do it for Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Continues the Gemara. V'chein shomati himeno anshei chotzer sheshochach echod v'lo irev beisoy osur. Let's see another halacha that we saw in the Mishnah that Rabbi Loi said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. The second of the three halachas that Rabbi Loi said, V'chein shomati mimenu, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, anshei chotzer sheshochach echod mem v'lo irev. As we've learned, even though min hatayra one's allowed to carry from one rishus hayochid to another, even though one rishus hayochid belongs just to one person, one rishus hayochid belongs to a number of people, min hatayra it's muta. Midrabbanan, they said you're only allowed to carry within a single rishus hayochid, but from one rishus hayochid that belongs just to one person to carry to a rishus hayochid that belongs to multiple people, that is somewhat similar to rishus harabim. People may get confused thinking you can carry from rishus hayochid to rishus harabim. So the Chachomim said, until you make an Eruv, which combines everybody together, so to speak, making them all a single household, you're not allowed to carry there. That's called Eruvei Chatzeros and Shitufei Muvois. If it's just in one Chatzos, an Eruv Chatzeros, if you're trying to combine a number of Chatzeros to allow us to carry from one Chatzos to the next, or from the Chatzeros to the Mavoi, to the alleyway, then you need Shitufei Muvois. We'll learn more about that later on in the Masechta. So what has to happen for Eruvei Chatzeros is that all the residents in the Chatzah have to combine, have to become partners in the food that's being left in one of the homes. What happens if one of the homeowners forgot to join the Eruv? Then the halacha is like this. So says Rabbi Loi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Beisoy, his own home of this person who forgot, Osir milahachnis ulahoitzi, he loy avalohem mutar, which means his own home, he himself is not allowed to carry from his home into the chotzer. However, all the other people in the chotzer, they are allowed to carry from his home into the chotzer, and that's fine. And there's a very important detail that the Mishnah doesn't say. When we learnt the Mishnah, we explained it. Rashi says it, and it's going to be apparent in the Gemara we're about to learn, that how can anybody carry in the chotzer there? This chotzer belongs. Let's say you had five people in this chotzer, and four of them made an Eruv. The fifth one didn't. So if the fifth one didn't make an Eruv, then the chotzer belongs to, so to speak, to two people. To the four that have become one through the Eruv, and this one that wasn't part of the Eruv. So how can anyone carry in the Chotzer? It's a Chotzer that belongs to two people, so to speak, not to one. And the Mishnah says that he is not allowed to carry into the Chotzer, but they're allowed to carry from his house into the Chotzer, and they can carry in the Chotzer. Why is that okay? So Rashi explains, we're obviously talking about that on Shabbos, this fifth person, he was Mevatel. He told them, I am giving up my part in the chotzer for you. It's as if I don't have a share in the chotzer. Now, as far as the chotzer is concerned, it belongs just to one person, the one which is representing the four. The fifth one has given up his part in the chotzer. He's not part of the chotzer. He's just like a guest. As far as the chotzer is concerned, he's just like a guest. The question is, what about his house? Is his house also become part of this group, and it's now like one house, because Eruvei Chatzeros has to be put in one of the homes. It's as if they all live in one house. It's not only as if all the Chatzeros, all the parts of the Chotzer, are one, it's all the homes are considered one. Now this number five, he was Mevatel his part in the Chotzer. So as far as the Chotzer is concerned, everyone can carry that. And they can all carry from their homes into the chotzer, because the chotzer is just one. The question is, from his house, are they allowed to carry from his house to the chotzer, or vice versa? Or is that called as two different properties? It's his home is one thing, and the chotzer belongs to one person, so it's okay. That's the question. So the halacha says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Loi said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that they are allowed to carry from his house into the chotzer. That means that when he gave up his part in the chotzer, he must have given up his part in the house as well. It's as if he says, my house, my part in my house, and my part in the chotzer, I'm giving that up for the duration of this Shabbos, and therefore it's as if I'm a guest here. It's as if my part in the chotzer is yours. It's as if my house is yours, and I'm just a guest here. If so, also his home, and also the chotzer, also all five homes now, and all five parts of the chotzer are all one, and therefore they can carry from their homes and from his home into the chotzer, and vice versa. The question is why can he not carry from his house into the chotzer. He's allowed to carry from his friend's house into the chotzer because he's just a guest. Why can he not carry from his own home? He's just a guest there. The answer is because if he carries from his own home into the chotzer, since technically speaking, he had a home and he has a chotzer, if he's going to start using his home and carrying from the home to the chotzer, he will reacquire, by doing that on Shabbos, he will reacquire his chelek in the chotzer by using it as if it was his. And that way, he's again going to destroy the Eruv for everybody. Because now it will be those four who are one, and him being another one, the chotzer now belongs to two. And therefore, we do not allow him to carry from his house to the chotzer. But everybody else can, because he gave up his own part, his own share in his own house and that of the chotzer. And that's why for him, he's not allowed to carry from his own home, but everybody else can even carry from his home, not only in the chotzer. That's the Mishnah. Let's see the Gemara. V'hotnan, the Gemara is asking a question. We're asking a question now from another Mishnah on Daf Samech Tes. Beisoy, Osur lahoitzio lahachnis loy velohen. We see later on in the Mishnah that it's true that when he gives up his part in the chotzer, now the chotzer belongs just to one entity, and then anybody, that means those four, they can carry from their homes, because those four became one, they can carry from their homes to the chotzer, and from the chotzer to their homes, because the chotzer belongs just to one rishus. But it says that even they are not allowed to carry from this number five's home to the chotzer. So it seems that this home was not nizbatel. It didn't become part of the same rishus as the chotzer, which means he did not give up his share in the bayis. He only gave up his share in the chotzer. And that seems to contradict what we're seeing in our Mishnah, that only he is not allowed to carry from his home to the chotzer, as we saw, for a side reason, because that way he will be undoing the bittel. He'll be reacquiring his part. But other than that, everybody else can carry from his bayis to the chotzer, because his bayis also became part of theirs. Not like we see in the Mishnah on Dav Samech Tes. Omer of Huna Breid Yeshua, Omer of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Loi Kashe, it's not a contradiction. Ho Rebel Yeza. Our Mishnah is Rebel Yeza, as it says explicitly. Rebbe Loi says, I heard this from Rebel Yeza. V'ho Rabbonon, the Mishnah on Dav Samech Tes is the Shitta of the Chachomim. And now Sheshes says something interesting. He says, Kashe Timotz Timtzi, Loimar, if you delve well into understanding what's at the heart of this argument, you'll understand as follows. L'divrei Reb Eliezer, ha-mevatel rishus chatzeroi. According to Reb Eliezer, when this person is mevatel the rishus, his part in the chotzer, which is the main issue here, because they all want to carry from their homes into the chotzer, but the chotzer has to belong to just one person, and has to belong to the same person as those four homes who want to carry in the chotzer. So the main thing is that he has to give up his part in the chotzer. Hamavatel rishus chatzeroi, rishus beisoi bittel. Rebbe Eliezer took it for granted that when a person gives up his rishus in the chotzer, then we take it for granted, it so to speak goes without saying, that he's also given up his own part in his own home, and therefore his home is also part of that same rishus hayochid, and they can carry from his home to the chotzer. However, l'rabbanon, according to the Chachomim, they say no. Hamevatel rishus chatzeroi, if somebody is mevatel rishus in the chotzer, which is the main issue here with the eruvei chatzeroi's, rishus beisoi lo bittel, he's not giving up his own part in his own home, his home belongs to him. And since he's not part of their homes, he's not part of now their chotzer, he's not allowed to carry into the chotzer. And for the same reason, they are not allowed to carry from his home into the chotzer, because it's two different, it belongs to two different people, two different owners. However, they can carry from their homes to the chotzer, because he doesn't, this number five, does not have a share in the chotzer. The chotzer belongs exclusively to those four that have done an Eruv and are one, and therefore they can carry from their homes to the chotzer. Says the Gemara Pshita, it sounds that you of Sheshes are coming to tell us some very deep idea. Let's delve deeply into the machleikas, and we'll see the machleikas is whether a person who gives up his ownership in the chotzer also gives up his ownership in his home. What have you been mechadish? It goes without saying, it's basic. That is what the machlekas is. What are you trying to teach us? Omar Rechava. Rechava says, no. What Rav Sheshes is coming to tell us, to give us an idea. He's not just telling us, this is what they're arguing about. He says, think deeply. Rashi says, Losum leiv lahovin tam machlokosum. Try and understand in a bit more depth what's behind their machlokas. Lil moedimenu dover achir, says Rashi. And if you understand it deeply, you'll be able to learn from here to a different halacha that it's not said, spoken about explicitly. Omar Rechova, and not I Rechova, Verev Huna Bar Chinina, Targimna, they explained Rav Sheshes that there is some depth to Rav Sheshes. Loinitzurcha Elo, and we'll hold on a moment to see what this other halacha is that we're going to learn from here. But what Rechova and Rav Huna Bar Chinina said is they said Rav Sheshes wasn't just telling us, yet they're arguing whether a person gave up his ownership in his home. That we know. What's underlying? What's behind it? What's behind it is when a person gives something away, does he do it generously or does he do it with the minimum possible? According to Abeliezer, I've given away my part in the chotzer, I'm doing it generously. I'm also giving you my home. And therefore my home is also part of your Rishus HaYochid, and therefore we can all carry, not the owner himself, but everybody can carry from person number five's home into the chotzer. The Rabbonon say no. They say when somebody gives something away, he doesn't do it so generously. He does it minimum. I gave you my chotzer, all I meant was to give you my chotzer. I didn't mean more than I told you. Now that we understand that there's an underlying discussion here, when a person gives something away, does he do it generously or not? Now we can move to the different halacha and apply this. To a case of lechamisha sheshoirin b'chotzer echod, if you have five people living in a chotzer, v'shochach echod mem, as we similar to what we're discussing, and one of them forgot v'lo iruv, he did not join the eruv chatzeris. L'divir Reb Eliezer, and then what did this fellow do? This number five said, for example, you have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and this number five, let's call him Yisachar. So this Yisachar went to Reuven, it's Shabbos morning or it's Friday night. He said, "Oi, I forgot to join the eruv. I'm giving up my part in the chotzer. You can all carry in the chotzer, and from your homes to the chotzer." But what happened was that this Yisachar didn't go to Shimon and to Levi and to Yehuda. He went just to Reuven. Now, when Reuven, it's true that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, they're all one because they made an Eruv. But that, so everything, all the parts of the homes and the Chatzeres of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda are all one at the time they made the Eruv. But we have Yisachar's part in the Chotzer and Yisachar's home, which is getting in the way. So now whatever Yisachar is going to do now is not going to happen to what they made an Eruv about. So now, if Yisachar is going to give up his Rashus, he has to give up his Rashus to Reuven and to Shimon and to Levi and to Yehuda. It's not enough that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda became one with their Eruv. That's not going to help for the new part that they're now acquiring, which was Yisachar's part that he's giving up to them. It doesn't help that they made an Eruv. He has to give it up to each one of them. Once he's given his part to each one of them, now the Eruv of yesterday, or that was set when Shabbos came in, is now going to help. They can all carry in the Chotzer. So, but this Yisachar went just to Reuven and said, "Reuven, I'm giving up my part in the Chotzer." Can we assume that he meant to give it up to Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda as well, or not? So that's what Rechava and Rav Huna Bar Chinina are saying. That's what Rav Sheshes was trying to impress on us. If you understand that Rabbi Eliezer, when he gives something away, he gives it generously, then if this Yisachar gave it to Reuven, you can assume that he also meant to give it to Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. However, according to the Rabbanon, who say that when a person gives something away, you can't take anything for granted. He gives away just what he says, not more. So he gave it to Reuven, he didn't give it to Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and therefore it's not going to help. And that's, so from understanding the machlokes of Eliezer and Rabbanon here, regarding our Mishnah, we'll also understand the case of where Yisachar gave it up just to Reuven, not to the rest. Let's see that inside. V'shochach echot mem v'lo irev. L'divir Reb Eliezer, k'shu mevatel reshusoy, when he's mevatel his reshus, ein tzorach levatel l'kol echot v'echot. He doesn't need to go to each one, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, I'm giving up my reshus to you. No, one is enough, and we assume that he means to give it to all of them because he's generous. L'rabonon, k'shu mevatel reshusoy, tzorach levatel l'kol echot v'echot. According to Rabbonon, he has to explicitly be mevatel his reshus to each one of the other owners, in order to allow them to rely on this. So continues the Gemara. Kman ozlo ha de tanyo chamisho sheshruin is a braisa that says if five shruin b'chotza echod, there are five homeowners that are sharing a chotza. V'shochach echod mem v'loy irev, and one of them forgot to join the eruv, k'shu mevatel rishusoy, when he's mevatel his rishus to the other four, ein tzorech levatel rishus lekol echod v'echod, he does not need to explicitly be mevatel his rishus to each one of them. Who's that going according to? Kaman k'Reb Eliezer. Like we just saw now, it's only Reb Eliezer who holds that a person gives something away generously. So if he gives it up to one, he's also giving it up to all, to the other four. Exactly to understand how this works, why the Eruv that they did doesn't work for when he gives up his part to just one of them, why he has to give it up explicitly to all of them, we're going to have to wait till later on, Daf Samach Tes and Ayin, to learn this in a little bit more detail. So that was one version of the Gemara, that you had the Machloikas, Reb Eliezer and Rabbonon, Rav Sheshes explained it, and then it was Rav Huna Bar Chinana and Rechava that explained as an extension of Rav Sheshes that it also applies to the case of the Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. Rav Kahana Masni Hocha, that's how Rav Kahana learned this dialogue. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hocha, Rav Tavyumi learned it a little bit differently, the conclusion is the same. Just according to Rav Tavyumi, it was Rav Sheshes himself that incorporated the question of the Chamisha, the five, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, where Yisachar gave up his Rishus just to Reuven, not to Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, that is dependent on the Machlokes, Reb Eliezer and Rabbonon, as to how generously a person gives something away, that it was Rav Sheshes himself that compared these two. Kaman ozla, Rav Tavyumi started like this, Masni Hocha, Kaman ozla ha de tanya, Chamisha sheshruin b'chotze echot, you have five people, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. And they were all in the chotza. They all were partners in the chotza. And then, v'loi irev, and one of them forgot and didn't join the eruv. K'shu mevatel rishusay, when he gives up his rishus on Shabbos, in the chotza, to the others, ein etzorech levatel rishus lekol echod ve'echod, he doesn't need to explicitly give it up to all, to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda separately. Kaman, who's that going on? So it's not now Rechava or Rav Huna Rav Chinana saying that according to Rav Sheshes' understanding in the Machlekes Reb Eliezer and the Rabbonon, then this Braisa must be following Reb Eliezer. No, it was Rav Sheshes himself. Omer Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Omer Rav Sheshes, command Reb Eliezer. It was Rav Sheshes himself that said it must be following Reb Eliezer. Continues the Gemara. Omer le Rav Papa le Abaya. Rav Papa is now asking an interesting question to Abaya. And we just saw that there was a Machlekes Reb Eliezer and the Rabbonon. What happens if a person gives away his share in the chotza? Do we take it for granted that he's given away his share in his home as well? The difference in halacha being, can all the other people carry from this Yisachar's home to the chotza? Or can they only carry from their own homes to the chotza? Because Yisachar definitely gave up his share in the chotza. Otherwise the chotza belongs to more than one person and nobody can carry that. But if he gave up his rishus in the chotza, did he also give up his rishus in his home? According to Reb Eliezer, he did. According to the Rabbonon, he didn't. And this is all where no mention explicitly was made. All he did was he gave up his share in the chotza. The question is, do we assume he gave up his share in the house as well or not? And the question is, what happens if explicit mention was made that he is or isn't giving away his share in the house? Is that going to influence the Reb Eliezer or the Rabbonon? The contra Eliezer, who takes it for granted that when you give away, when Yisachar gave away his share in the chotza, that he also gave away his share in the home, if he says explicitly, I'm giving you my share in the chotza, I'm not giving you my share in the home, which means that you can all carry from your homes to the chotza, but none of you can carry from my house to the chotza, will that work or will that not work? Do we give any validity, or do we take what he says seriously? Ula Rabbonon, the same question will be according to the Rabbonon. I Omar Mevatilno. The Rabbonon take it for granted that when you give away your chotza, you do not give away your home. What happens if he says explicitly, I'm also giving you my homes? Does that mean that they will agree that they can all carry from this Yisachar's home to the chotza? Or do we say that we're not interested in what you're saying? We disregard what you're saying. So, and now the Gemara is explaining, but first according to Reb Eliezer, then according to Rabbonon, why we should regard or disregard what he's saying explicitly. My Talmud, Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Eliezer said in our Mishnah that they can carry from his home to the Chotzer, even though he only explicitly gave up his share in the Chotzer, Mishum de Kosova, because Rabbi Eliezer holds, Hamavati Roshus Chatzeri, Roshus Beisei Bittel, like we saw before, Rabbi Eliezer holds, when you give away your part in the Chotzer, you give it away large, Ba'ayin Yofa, and you give away your share in the house as well. That's something we take for granted. V'hai Omar, but this person said explicitly, Ano loy mevatilna. But when he said explicitly, I'm not giving up my share in the house, so you've got somebody who's saying, I'm not so generous. So we would have thought Rabbi Eliezer will take that seriously and say, okay, so they can all carry in the Chotzer, and from their homes to the Chotzer, but not from his home to the Chotzer. Oy dilma, or no, maybe we disregard what he's saying. Talmud Rabbi Eliezer, the reason that Rabbi Eliezer says that we take it for granted that he'd given up his house as well, is not just because we assume he's very generous and therefore we assume that he gave away his house. It's much more than that. Mishum de bayis b'loi chotzer lo yavida inish de dairi. There's no such thing as a person living in a home that doesn't have a chotzer attached to it. And Rashi stresses and says, kiven de les le chotzer, if he doesn't have a chotzer or some part in the chotzer, diras bayis loi klum hu ledidei, then he's got no value in the house. Since it's so taken for granted that there's no such thing as a home without a chotzer, therefore, ki ka'omar lo mevatilna, then when he says, I'm not giving away my house, my part in the house, or I'm not giving my house to you, lav kol kminei, we totally disregard it. Af al gav de omar dayarna, lav klum ka'omar. And therefore, even if he says that he wants to live in his house and, so to speak, retain ownership in his house without the chotzer, we totally disregard it. There's no such thing. It's not a normal thing to expect, to say, and we just totally disregard it. And therefore, even if he explicitly says, I'm not giving away my house, it's as if he's given away his house as well, and they can all carry from his house to the chotzer. Those are the two signs. Is it merely, can we assume that you want to be generous? In which case, if he says explicitly that not, we have to take that seriously. Or do we say that there's no such thing as giving away just the chotzer, and therefore it doesn't matter what he says about the house. If he's explicitly gave away the chotzer, it's as if he's given away his house as well. That was the question Rav Papa asked Abaye. L'Rabbonon. Rav Papa also asked Abaye regarding the opinion of the Rabbonon. I Omar Mevatilna, if he says explicitly, I am giving away my share in the chotzer, in the house. My Talmud Rabbonon, what was the reason that the Rabbonon said that they are not allowed to carry from his house to the Chotzer? Is it Mishum de Kosovra, because they take it for granted that Mevatel Roshus Chatzeroi Roshus Beisoi Loi Bittel? We assume that you give away your Chotzer, why should we take it for granted that you've given away your house? V'hai Omar Mevatilna. And he said explicitly, I'm also giving away my house, so there's no reason we shouldn't take that seriously. And then they can carry from his house to the Chotzer, even according to the Rabbonon. Oy Dilma, the other side of the coin, according to the Rabbonon, would be the time of the Rabbonon. The reason that, according to Rabbonon, when he gives away his chotzer, we assume he's not giving away his house, is mishum deloy ovid inish to mesalik nafshei legamri mibayis v'chotzer. There's no such thing as a human being giving away everything he has, also the chotzer, also the home. V'havaki oireach legabayu, and then he's just a mere guest, so to speak, amongst all the other people in this chotzer. And therefore, since nobody does such a thing, gives away his whole property, and therefore, v'hai, this person, Omar Mevatilna, if he says explicitly, I'm giving away even my house, lav kol kaminei, we totally disregard it, as it's as if you haven't said anything, and therefore, even according to the Rabbonon, they will not be allowed to carry from his home to the Chotzer. That was the question that Abaye asked, that Rav Papa asked Abaye, according to the Rabbonon. Omar le, Abaye answered to Rav Papa, Bein Rabbonon, Bein Rabbi Eliezer, Kiven de Goli, Daitei Goli. He says these new suggestions that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, maybe there's no such thing as a home without a chotzer. According to Rabbonon, there's no such thing as giving away your chotzer and your home. We don't take into account any of those new ideas. All the way we learned till now was that it was just something we take for granted. You've given away your chotzer. Do you mean to give away your house or not? And therefore, it's clear that if he explicitly says that he is or explicitly says that he isn't, we take that very seriously and at face value. And if he says explicitly, I'm giving away the house, then even according to the Rabbonon, they can carry from his house to the Chotzer. If he says explicitly, I'm not giving away the house, then even according to Abeliezer, they cannot carry from his house to the, or nobody can carry from his house to the Chotzer. And the whole machlokas was only if he just gave away the chotzer and didn't say anything about the house, what can we assume did he mean about the house? Continues the Gemara. V'chein shamati mimenu shayetzim ba'ar kablin b'pesach. Rabbi Loi said, this was the third halacha in the Mishnah, that I also heard from Rabbi Eliezer that you can be yetzer the mitzvah of morer with something called ar kablin. My ar kablin, what is ar kablin, says the Gemara, Omer Shlokish, atzavsa charuziosa, a type of a vine that's going around the date palms, something which is bitter. And Rabbi Loi heard from Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to use that for morer. But as Rabbi Loi said, I asked all the other Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, and none of them heard it from him. And it seems that they did not agree with this. But what Rabbi Loi heard from Rabbi Eliezer is that these vines, or whatever it was, growing around the palm dates, the date palms, can be used for morer. Hadron aloch oisin pachsin, b'siyata deshmaya, we've finished learning perik oisin pasin, we're going to do chazorim yitzhashem on perik oisin pasin, and in the next year we're going to start perik bakoil ma'arvin.